Alrighty.
Ready?
We sure are.
Okie dokie.
We'll see
and
you.
And I'll talk to you later.
Definitely.
Alright. Good morning.
Good morning, Elias.
Good morning.
And what are you accomplishing now?
Right now, sitting in a chair.
Excellent.
I feel very accomplished.
I've made coffee.
Very well.
But in all seriousness, a lot. Recently was able to basically quit my job and still maintain everything we had before. So that felt like a very big accomplishment.
Excellent.
So yeah, I don't have to go to work anymore. I am working from home.
Excellent. And you're more comfortable with that?
So far, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I still feel my lingering uncomfort from you know, I was just saying the other day on our forum how I'm starting to realize how an old pattern of feeling can linger even after removing the reason it was there or seemingly there in the first place.
Yes.
And I just was sitting on the couch with nothing to do and feeling like I was wasting my own time, like I had to do something, and then I just sat there and watched that feeling just kind of dissipate as I realized that wasn't the case at all.
It is quite astounding how ingrained these habits of thinking and feeling and associating become. How strong they influence you.
Would you go so far as to say patterns of even how you project energy?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I can definitely feel that.
It is very automatic. It becomes habit. And in that, even when you change the habit, it has been such a strong automatic action that you will discover time frameworks in which you either slip into that action momentarily, very briefly, or you generate those then feelings in relation to those habits.
Yep.
And that does change your energy.
I can see that.
But what is significant in that is that in relation to energy and even habits or patterns, when you become aware of them and you change them, even if you do momentarily automatically slip into one of those expressions and your energy changes, it is also very likely that you will notice it very quickly and express the ability to change that energy very quickly also.
That's exactly what I did just the other night. I mean, I noticed that real fast. I went, wait a minute, that's not even true. That was pretty much the thought I had. It was, this is not true. I'm not wasting my own time. I have no time to waste anymore. And with that thought, like, all of a sudden, basically, I want to say, like, my tension in my body just disappeared. My thoughts went away, and I just kind of felt really comfortable and warm.
Yes.
The warmness might have been partly because of the weather, but but yeah, no, I felt that sort of just serene calm, and it felt really nice. And then after that, my thoughts came back and went, wow, I didn't even need thoughts right in that moment. That was awesome. But I'm glad you brought up habits, because I've been thinking about habits lately, and one that I actually just recently kicked was biting my nails. I used to bite my nails constantly, and through complete conscious effort decided, you know, I'm going to kick this habit. I'm going to show myself that I can definitely kick a habit easily, and I did. I don't bite my nails anymore. Maybe occasionally put my fingers to my teeth and then instantly remember, oh yeah, I'm not biting my nails. And I'm realizing that the tension in my body is also a habit.
Yes.
And in a sense, I want to say that I'm trying to kick that habit also, but I'm finding at times it seems a little bit different than just stopping biting my nails. To kick the habit. But at the same time, I don't think it probably is that much different. So I'm interested in your perspective on the difference or similarity in, say, biting the nails.
For some habits, it is very beneficial to generate a different action to replace the action of the habit.
Okay.
Habits are established in different manners and for different reasons. And with some habits, you can generate a decision that you do not want to do this any longer, and you can recognize what has likely prompted the action pastly and what generally instigates the habit. And merely by knowing those factors, it allows you to choose differently and stop engaging the habit. But with other habits,
would you say my biting my nails is more like what you just described?
Yes.
Correct. Okay.
With other habits, you may generate the ability to recognize what influences it and what has prompted it, or what the motivation was, what the reason was that you began the habit. And you may not be expressing that reason any longer, but the habit has continued regardless. And in that, some habits, even knowing the reason, they become so automatic that you are not paying attention. Now, in this, generally those types of habits are incorporated with subjects such as some expression with your body, such as tension, or an action such as thinking.
For me, eating is one that I certainly know the influences and why I do it, but it is a habit, and I like to eat.
When the habit involves the body consciousness in some manner, it is not merely an action that you are doing.
Sure.
As biting your nails, this is an action.
Correct, okay, yeah.
Are habitually doing. Therefore, you can view the reason, view the triggers, view the prompts that influence you to generate that automatic action, but it is an action. When there is an expression that involves the body consciousness in some capacity, that may be more challenging.
Sure.
To alter the habit. And in those situations, it is many times very helpful to invent or discover another expression that can become a habit that will replace the existing habit. You create a new habit to replace the old habit. And the new habit, you are generating some expression that is intentional and that you view to be a benefit to you. In this, it is dependent upon what the habit is in relation to what you would develop to replace it with a new habit.
So, in it,
with a habit such as eating, it would be replacing it with a different action that continues to engage your body consciousness.
Like exercise.
Therefore, choosing some action that engages your body that you can do in any time framework that you would be expressing the habit of eating. Therefore, that you can do in any location, any situation. It could be exercise, but exercise is somewhat limiting.
Sure.
But there are situations and locations, environments, that you can engage that habit of eating that engaging a replacement with exercise would not necessarily be convenient.
Sure, right, that makes sense.
Or easily expressed. Therefore, it is a matter of choosing an action that is as easily expressed as eating. An action that you can engage in any time framework, in any environment, just as you could with eating, that will engage your body consciousness in some capacity. Therefore, you could develop a new habit of a breathing exercise.
Okay.
Or you could develop a new habit of a brain exercise.
Okay.
In which you can engage that at any time, in any moment, in any situation, and in any environment.
Okay. Now, would you say that's similar in process to the habit of, say, bodily tension that you hold? That I know I hold some bodily tension that, in a sense, is a habit, a habitual thing I'm doing with my energy, per se. Would you say it's similar in dismissing a habit like that in what you're saying, or is there a difference?
There is somewhat of a difference. I would express that in relation to tension or thinking, these are two habits that are somewhat more challenging.
Sure.
Or they are so automatic and they can be expressed so frequently, and there is no actual physical action that you must engage to do them.
Correct.
Such as with eating, there is a physical action.
Correct.
That is required to be consuming.
Correct.
And therefore, it is somewhat more obvious. You are aware when you are eating that you are eating.
Oh, I hope so.
When sure. you are holding tension or when you are thinking, you may not actually be aware that you are doing either of those actions. Even thinking, it is such an automatic action that you engage, that your body consciousness is participating in, that you may not even be aware of what you are doing immediately. It may require a brief time framework before you notice what you are doing. And this, with tension or with thinking, it is a matter of developing a new habit that you do intentionally, repeatedly, of course, to develop a habit, for that is what a habit is. It is a repeated habitual action. In this, it is a matter of developing a repeated action that you do that engages your body consciousness that will replace that other habit, but not necessarily only in the time framework that you notice it. Therefore, as an example with the eating, you notice when you are eating, you know you are engaging that action.
Yes.
And therefore, at times, you can objectively choose to stop doing that action and to move to the replacement habit.
Correct.
An action such as tension or even thinking, you may not necessarily always be aware of when you are expressing that. Therefore, it is not always a matter of stopping it or noticing it and stopping it and then replacing it with the new habit. Therefore, it is a matter of creating a new habit that will automatically replace the old habit.
And would you
without having to do it intentionally, that the expression of the new habit being expressed intentionally will automatically replace the old habit.
Right. So would you say that my experience yesterday, where I did intentionally, in a sense, and consciously pay attention to when I was feeling that sense of needing to go and do something, I intentionally was able to just quickly go, that's not a now feeling, that's an old feeling, and move away from that into realizing I can just completely relax and lay here on my couch and not have to worry about anything. The move from one thought to the next was an intentional shift in a habit that is what kind of you're saying of you want to make that the automatic nature.
Yes, yeah. But in relation to tension or thinking, that is the difference. With this
sure.
example that you
sure.
offered,
sure.
feeling, once again, feelings are more noticeable. and therefore your attention will move to them. You generate that restless feeling, and it prompts you to question, what is creating this restless feeling within me? For feelings are very attractive, and therefore they do gain your attention relatively quickly. When you are repeat or incessantly thinking, you may not necessarily notice that you are doing that. When you are holding tension, the feeling of tension may be so familiar to you that you do not even notice that you are holding that tension. Therefore, with those replacement habits, it is significant that you choose the design of the habit that will be effective. Now, in relation to tension, how you create a new habit to replace that does not require you being aware of when you are holding tension. That will automatically affect it. What can be very effective is developing a new habit of identifying a feeling that is comfortable for you. Identifying a feeling that generally automatically relaxes you, or that is soothing to you. It does not require action.
Though it could. Such as
the identification of a feeling that promotes that comfort and soothing within yourself. And when you identify a particular feeling that creates that, it is a matter of developing a habit of remembering that feeling.
That makes sense. It could incorporate an action such as listening to music, correct? As long as you're paying attention to the feeling, you know, I'm paying attention to the feeling I'm getting from the music, and not necessarily focusing on anything in the music per se, but the feeling I'm getting from the music.
It could, but once again, that is not always
necessary.
For you may be in an environment or in a situation in which it would be difficult for you to begin listening to music.
Sure. I understand that.
Therefore, it is not a matter of, as I expressed, noticing that you are tense.
Sure.
Or that you are holding tension in your body consciousness, and then attempting to generate a different action to replace it. No. In these situations, it is a matter of choosing some subject that consistently invokes a feeling of calm, comfort, soothing to you.
I hear you, because when you're thinking on the lines of, say, replacing, what you're saying is not what you're thinking here, is because when you're thinking of the replacement, you're still focusing on it.
Correct. And in these situations, it is a matter of developing a new habit that you can intentionally do frequently are not necessarily be aware of whether you are expressing that tension or whether you are incessantly thinking. For the action itself will automatically replace it, and it will function in that manner. The body will respond automatically. A very effective method in relation to thinking is to choose one word. It matters not what the word is. Choose a word that you like. In this, it is the point that what you do is you use your thinking to only repeat this one word over and over and over. It is very difficult for your thought mechanism to hold the repetition of one word and think in conceptual directions.
Oh, sure.
It is very difficult for your thought mechanism to entertain more than one direction simultaneously.
Oh, yeah.
Therefore, if you choose a word that you like, such as game.
Well, I was going to go with supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Not that word?
Involved.
Yeah, that's true.
Here's a short one.
Okay, I'll go with game. I like game.
A word that is easy and that can be repeated very quickly. Game, 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 game.
Okay.
In that, you are developing a new habit of repetition of one word, and that will automatically stop the thought mechanism. It redirects the firing in your actual physical brain.
Hey, Elias, why do I get the feeling like you're trying to shut up my mind?
Damn thought focus.
I'm a thought focus. What are you trying to do, Elias? So, why do I have this feeling like...
new zombies.
Yay. So why do I get this feeling like I have this sort of natural output of intensity, but also a relaxation as well? Is this somewhat true for me?
Yes.
That's so contradicting, Elias.
In actuality, it is not...
I know. I'm an intense relax.
Intensity does not necessarily automatically denote tension.
True.
I would express to you that an excellent example of that would be a symphony.
True.
But you can listen to a symphony, and the symphony can build in tremendous intensity, and it can be very soothing, and it can influence you to be very relaxed. Therefore, you are engaging two actions simultaneously. You are allowing the intensity of the music and also being relaxed. Individuals do this very frequently, in which they interpret music to relax and they play it very loudly.
And you're like calling me or something. Like, you're pointing me out here. What are you doing?
Therefore, the intensity does not necessarily automatically express that there is tension involved.
For instance, what the song written in B flat, my essence chord, I believe, was it? The Adagio for Strings by Samuel Barber. I feel very connected with that song. Is there a reason for that? I mean, other than the fact that it's written in B flat.
And your impression?
Well, I just feel like that one song written in B flat has always been something that feels very me. that intensity, but also a very serene relaxation to that song. There's very relaxing moments, but also a very, very intense sort of dissonance at certain points of that song as well. And I go ahead.
The reason that you resonate with it is that the energy of the music is very similar to the energy that you naturally express.
Yeah.
They are almost the same. And that is the reason that you resonate with it. From it, in a manner of speaking, could be very much likened to a signature.
I kind of like that. Okay, so slight change of subjects here. I also felt a connection, and this may just be with imagery that I'm connecting here. You told me my symbol is the lightning bolts on fire, surrounded by what type of leaf was that?
Laurel.
The wreath around it. So I mean, the lightning and that type of energy, that intensity, the electrical intensity and sense. I feel sort of a draw, and I've looked at pictures of Nikola Tesla, and there is a sort of familiarity with Nikola Tesla compared to other individuals who may also be into, say, electricity, like Edison or whatnot. Is there a connection there? I have no idea if it's, you know, observing essence, counterpart. I have no idea. I have no what's the word I'm looking for here?
I would impressions. Both
what?
You are an observing essence, and you also do interpret a counterpart action.
Okay.
Which would create that familiarity and that draw.
So, I was just expressed, I didn't quite understand the concept of observing essence until I don't know if this is the correct, but it felt very understanding to me, that observing essence kind of means that essence almost feels as though they are the focus they are observing. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
To experience that focus precisely and exactly the same.
Interesting. Very interesting. So you say I am an observing essence of Nikola Tesla?
Yes.
And not the other way around?
Correct.
Now, why would it not be the other way around? I'm a little confused on that.
Not an action that automatically moves back and forth. Therefore, one can be an observing essence in a particular focus, and that is not to say that that essence is automatically observing of the other focus, in return, so to speak. This occurs with counterpart action also. You can be expressing a counterpart action another individual, and they may not be expressing a counterpart action with you.
Okay. Okay.
But it is your choice of what you want to engage, what you gain through those experiences.
Sure, that makes sense. Now, I was also told there's possibilities of observing essences being temporary or a lifetime. So I'm curious as to which or what I am with Nikola Tesla.
This would be partial, not life.
Okay.
I would express that you observe this individual in experience throughout the adult life.
Okay. That makes sense. I also feel a connection with the Fibonacci sequence, not necessarily the person who Leonardo Pisano Bigolo, I don't know how to exactly pronounce that name, but not with him per se, but the actual Fibonacci sequence. The impression I have with that is not necessarily that that's necessarily unique to me per se, but maybe because of that sequence is. Or maybe it is because my essence name is more, but it is something that is constantly becoming more. The Fibonacci sequence is constantly spiraling outward. So maybe that is... Okay. I think that's all I have for connections that I've recently been playing with. So I guess we'll move on to the next question that Ginger had about experiencing ghosts in her childhood.
Yeah, I had a lot of experience living in this house and having some very intense experiences that not only I observed but friends were a part of, where like things would just appear in my room. I had a closet never shut. We would close it, by the next morning it would be open. Things appearing in mirrors, during birthday parties, other kids saw it. It was very, very, very interesting. And even in my later life, when I moved into Tyler's parents' house, I had some interesting experiences with hearing my name called, things being turned on and off. And I'm just wondering why I experienced that, and whereas Tyler has never experienced it.
I would express that this is twofold. It is a matter of openness, but it is also a matter of what you are paying attention to. Generate an openness, and this is not to say that you both do not incorporate an openness, for you do, but in this, you, in that openness, incorporate a tendency to pay attention to movement and expressions that other individuals do not necessarily notice. It's not that they are not occurring. It is that some individuals pay more attention, and therefore they notice. I would express that I could generate an action within a group of individuals, and it may even be some action that is relatively overt. Some individuals will notice and pay attention, and other individuals will not notice at all. Some individuals express naturally more of a sensitivity to energy expressions, and in that you are more likely likely to pay attention to movement or sounds or actions that occur that another individual may not, such as with the door. Another individual could interpret the same experience, the same action could occur, that they could close the door and it would open again, and they could close the door and it would open again. And they may not merely not pay attention and continue to close the door.
Mm-hmm.
Or rationalize.
That's
and
what I would
offer
do.
Themselves some type of explanation as to why the door continues to open. And that will be satisfying to them and allow them, once again, to not pay attention. An individual such as yourself, you incorporate a sensitivity to energy, which you will notice in other situations also, not only in situations that involve non-physical energies,
mm-hmm.
but even in relation to your interactions with other individuals or being in certain physical environments. You may be more sensitive to what that environment feels to you, and in that you have always expressed this natural sensitivity to energies, whether they be physical or not physical.
And would you say the difference, we have a question here, and we think the difference between her and I and why she is more sensitive in that manner is an orientation thing? Partly.
It does influence, or it does help to enhance that.
Okay.
But I would not necessarily express that natural sensitivity is expressed because of the orientation. For
I understand.
Are individuals of all the
three
orientations that express this type of sensitivity.
Sure.
I would express that how you interact with it or how it affects you is more so influenced by the different orientations.
Right, like what you said with some people rationalize. I mean, I'm a thought intermediate that always would rationalize things like that.
Or if you expressed this type of sensitivity naturally, you may move in the reverse direction. But it is likely that you would move in one or the other.
Sure.
You would either rationalize,
sure.
or you may move in the other direction and be afraid.
Yeah, freaking out.
Yeah, I generally, when I was much younger, it used to scare me. I couldn't sleep alone. I was terrified. I would literally jump from my bed to the doorway because I was afraid something was going to snake out and grab my feet or jump out of the closet. Like, I was terrified. But as I got older, like, things would happen, and I would literally be like, you know what? I'm tired of the door shutting. Just stop it for a while. And all of a sudden, things would just kind of calm down for a while. So,
It's but this also is a significant difference. For with you, it would be reasonable that initially it would be frightening, and most likely it would be with any orientation. But the difference is that you would most likely naturally begin to assess that, regardless of what you are afraid of, no thing actually is harmful to you.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I had gotten to. And it seems like it's kind of like tapered off since then. I don't have it happen as often. There is like weird coincidences, but it doesn't, it's more amusing to me than it is frightening at all anymore. So
in a sense, I feel like she's doesn't see it or experience it as much since we've met, and I've opened up to it a bit more since we've met together. I think that's an accurate assessment of us.
I would agree.
Yeah.
And I would also express that in relation to your orientation, it is also very likely that you would, beyond recognizing that there is no harmfulness that this follows
sure.
you, eventually it is likely that you would be somewhat bored with it.
Yeah.
So here's a question. Within the next, you know, until our next session, how about you do something in our reality that we can try to notice?
Very well.
Okay. Thank you.
I shall.
Awesome. I think you probably already have, and we've noticed some of them.
I would agree.
Yeah, okay.
I will offer you a hint that, although I am not exclusive in this, or that I do not only move in this direction, but I am quite fond of electrical expressions.
Okay.
Therefore, that would be an easy direction to be noticing.
Perfect.
Sounds good.
Sounds like that would be something I could notice as well. Yeah. Okay. I want to change subjects. We're running out of time here. I'm going to get to my dreams in our next session, so I will skip those. Has anyone asked you about this current Syrian situation, the situation in Syria and the chemical warfare? Has anyone asked you about that? Because if they have and you've already expressed it, I'll move on.
Briefly,
okay. Since that'll probably take up more time, I'll either let someone else ask that, maybe at this group session that's coming up, or I'll ask later. I'll leave that to more time to be discussed. So I'll move on to a quote that Seth had that I'd like your take on. I think I intuitively understand what he's saying, but I'd love to hear it from your perspective. And I don't know if this is exactly how the quote went, but I'm just going to read it how I found it. He said, "If you do not have a loving concern for the environment in which you dwell, it will no longer sustain you. You will not be worthy of it. You will not be destroying the planet, you see. You will not be destroying the birds or the flowers or the grain or the animals. You will not be worthy of them, and they will be destroying you." What's your perspective on that? Or how would you define that, rephrase it?
Let me express elective from the perspective of the awareness at the time.
Sure. Totally understandable.
And what was or would have been more acceptable at the time.
Sure.
Therefore, that being expressed, I would say to you that in one respect, the statement of you not destroying the environment or the planet or even the animals, in one capacity, is correct for what you destroy outside of you is merely an extension of you. Your entire universe is an extension of you. Therefore, whatever aspects of that in your assessment that you destroy or misuse, you are in actuality essentially doing that to yourself. Beyond that, I have expressed that you have designed this reality very intricately and specifically and in relation to your actual physical planet. You have very specifically designed the structure of it and how it functions, just as you have very specifically designed your physical manifestations, your physical body incorporates a very specific, intricate design, and it functions in specific manners. Your planet is designed very similarly. It incorporates a specific structure also, and it functions in relation to that design of its structure. Therefore, when you alter the structure of the planet, you alter its function, just as with your body. When you alter the structure of your body, you also alter its function. In this, your world has been designed by you collectively in a very intricate system that is all interconnected and has been designed to reflect you, who are all interconnected. Therefore, the environment of your planet and the structure of your planet itself is all interconnected as that extension and reflection of yourself. Now, as to the statements of worthiness or deservingness, I would express that in one capacity, I could and will elaborate upon that. In another capacity, I would reiterate that those statements were expressed in relation to what the awareness was of the collective at the time.
Which has shifted, of course, tremendously since then.
Yes, it has.
Yes.
Tremendously.
Yes.
Now, I would express that in relation to worth or worthiness and deservingness in another capacity, this statement is not entirely incorrect, but not in the manner that it was posed.
Okay.
For, as you are aware now, expanding your awareness, you are becoming more aware of your worth, your worthiness, and your deservingness, and how important that is, and how important it is to recognize that and acknowledge it, and how much time has been incorporated in your history that has been diminished and not acknowledged and has been sacrificed for control.
Yeah.
Therefore, if you are approaching the subject from the perspective of awareness, I would express that in that time framework, you were beginning to move in the direction of becoming more aware of individual worth, individual responsibility, and value. And in that, the statement is a reflection of the diminishing of your collective perception of the worth and value and deservingness of yourselves, that you placed such little value on those expressions, that the idea of deservingness was not even entertained yet. This is a subject that is relatively recent in your movement of expanding your awareness. This concept of your deservingness, not through earning, that you are deserving for what you exist.
For being.
And as you widen your awareness, that is beginning to be translated in a wider expression also, recognizing your interconnectedness, and therefore also recognizing the worth and the deservingness of any expression that is a projection version of you, which includes everything in your world and in your universe.
I totally understand. I mean, me being able to quit my job was exactly that for me. I mean, before, years ago, when I wasn't able to do the same thing, I did not have the same feeling of worth or value. And this time, it was different. I understood my worth, I understood my value, and my deservingness of what I wanted, and got it.
Yes. And in that, it allows you a much greater awareness of self and of value and of affectingness.
Yeah, definitely.
That this awareness of deserving and value affects. It affects your choices, it affects your expressions, it affects your behaviors, it affects your directions, and beyond you, it ripples out and affects in consciousness. Therefore, it affects the entire collective of your world. But even if you are only viewing the effectiveness within your own individual experience, it is tremendously affecting and altering when you are aware of actually valuing yourself and aware of your deservingness and aware that you individually can choose. That is tremendously powerful and tremendously empowering.
I completely agree. Well, the timer is up, and I don't want to go over too long. I do want to ask one quick question for a friend online. Alexi asks, she said her essence animal is a swan, but she is curious to know what species or subspecies of swan. She has a couple of impressions of possibly a black swan or a tundra swan. She wanted your final answer.
Black swan.
Black swan. Okay. I will tell her that. Thank you.
You are welcome.
So I will call it a day for now, and I'm sure we'll be speaking again soon.
Well, I shall greatly be anticipating of that, and I shall be offering my energy to you in tremendous encouragement.
Thank you.
In more of your success and accomplishments, as you are accomplishing quite well.
I think so, too.
I will be playing with you and engaging our game of hide and seek.
As long as you don't turn off my computers when I'm playing a game. That'll just piss me off, man.
You're like, damn it, Elias.
How dare you? Now I feel it coming.
I shall comply with this as an agreement.
Okay, perfect. Wonderful. Well, thank you very much for all of your time.
You are very welcome, my friend. I express tremendous affection to both of you.
And to you.
Great lovingness to you each. Until our next meeting. Au revoir.
Bye-bye. Au revoir.